evening and welcome inside the Better Clubhouse on this Tuesday, June 17th, live from Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, 19th Hole Clubhouse Studios, proudly supported by Ice Pick Vodka, Shipyard Brewing, Sea Dogs Brewing, Michelob Ultra, and Ultra Zero. This is the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network, and you're listening to the Better Clubhouse live on RadioSt.Pete.com on the Florida Sports Streams channel, and check us out on Spotify on the Tampa Bay Podcast Archive, part of Radio St. Pete. I'm Christian Champ Sharp, part of your Clubhouse crew tonight, joined shortly by my brother from another mother, Sammy Sharp's there. Quick hour ahead for the patrons on this Tuesday as we look back at the great Spawn. Spawning back a little bit, we'll have to go there. A little play on words. I'm sure all the headlines have already done it. You probably already know where I'm headed where here. J.J. Spawn, U.S. Open major champion. I think the last time we saw him at the Players Championship on that Monday, couldn't get it done. He got it done with a massive putt on the 72nd hole. We have plenty to chat about with Sammy on that. Last week, what we got out of last week in major number three and looking ahead to the Open Championship there. We'll have plenty of U.S. Open feedback there. Then, obviously, we'll go out onto the patio, Sammy's patio preview there for the eighth signature event of the season this week. We got pretty much all the big names back in play up in Cromwell, Connecticut at the Travelers Championship. Have to chat about that, see who we like this week in that shorter field, seeing who up there. Yes, there is a guy named Scottie Scheffler. Yes, he is the defending champion. And we got a little bit of stuff there, but stick around. We'll see who we can dig up some value there. Also, talked about it for a couple weeks now, was able to put it into the universe for you patrons. We got the NHL, Chris Norton joining us, 7:15, to break down this pivotal Game 6 with Lord Stanley in the building in Sunrise, looking for the Florida Panthers, looking to go back-to-back for that Stanley Cup title. Interested, Chris Norton selected from the NHL draft, the 11th rounder for the Winnipeg Jets. We're looking forward to his insight. I know Sammy's dying to see if his over goals and trying to keep that trend going. Looking forward to that conversation. And then on the back end, obviously we'll throw in some NBA finals there as the OKC Thunder put it on them last night with Jalen Williams going for 40-piece there as well. So plenty of action as I get Sammy on the line there. Go on ahead over to the Better Clubhouse, www.thebetterclubhouse.com. Sign up for all our newsletters. You'll get access to our patio preview, which breaks down the course there, gives us some key stats and trends to the course. Player deep dives, I've heard we got over 15 tonight lined up for you. Plenty of stats, form, and insights there for the Travelers Championship, and obviously Wednesday for our final bets and models. www.thebetterclubhouse.com. We welcome all patrons also to hit us up on all the socials, X, Instagram, and even TikTok. And I think even Sammy got us over there on Threads as well. So interesting. We'll have to set up the chatter and conversation there. Looking forward to it. www.thebetterclubhouse.com. Now, without further ado, let's welcome in my brother from another mother there, Sammy Sharps. How are we doing in the clubhouse tonight?
Doing pretty well, champ. How are you doing today?
It's been busy, man. We call this thing called summer down here in Florida. The kids are out. They've been running me all over. And actually going up to the great state of Wisconsin. Maybe try out some cheese.
Okay.
Doing that. So we hit up a lot of Sarasota and Anna Maria Island. Kind of see the other side. Obviously, we love St. Pete. Love all the beaches. Love coming down to Ferg's there. Checked it out. Got our suntan. Girls are right out of the barn. So really looking forward to going back U.S. Open and also just the summer ahead. Obviously, looking forward to the Open Championship down the road. But dog days of summer are here. Sammy, how is it in your neck of the woods up there in Charlotte, North Carolina?
Hey, it's getting hot and humid. Playing golf this week, and I was looking at the forecast. I'm playing on Saturday, and it's going to be 90 to 95 degrees with intense humidity, just like we love during the summer here in the Carolinas. So it's going to be a sweaty one here, but I'm looking to have some sweats going in the Travelers Championship up in Connecticut, where it's much less humid. But yeah, we're looking to get in the win column here and turn these sweats from physical sweats into betting sweats a little bit, if you know what I mean.
Oh, for sure. I mean, something that's heated right now is definitely, and we try to put out that content each and every. We did a great job with all the major content last week. Go check that out on thebetterclubhouse.com. Another top 10 model winner there, another top 20 model winner there from Sammy there. These things are hot, and we go back to a tournament there. But before we get up there to Cromwell, Connecticut, let's go back, reminisce on that massive, I think there was an earthquake when this guy made a putt there. I was glad we were able to get through the wind. J.J. Spahn, obviously a stats guy, put up all the stuff. I know when we first, people looking at that leaderboard saying, man, where's Scotty? Where's all these big names? And there's been some debates there for that type of course, what kind of player, because we do see tough conditions and that sort of thing. Looking back at that final leaderboard for you, Sammy, what are some things, key insights from you that stuck out?
So it was an interesting leaderboard for a major nonetheless. I think it's interesting that Scotty had his B or C game and still figured out a way into the top 10. Thought it was interesting. Rory, despite his driving struggles, he actually was very good off the tee, almost missed the cut. He ended up making the cut, having a good round four and kind of jumping up the leaderboard, I think, into the top 20. And then the most surprising for me was, I think, Bryson struggling, not only struggling, but being so hard-headed that he wasn't playing the course as the course was trying to dictate to him. I think he was just trying to go about his own ways and get around the course how he thought was best. And you think of somebody who made online content and videos and whatnot and kind of at least was popularizing the course, you think he would have had a better weekend. But alas, golf is golf. It's a hard game to play. It's a harder game to bet on. So congrats to J.J. Spahn. That putt, while he didn't need it to win, I thought it was a pretty freaking incredible putt to nail that one. And kudos to the guys that were trailing. Bobby Mack came out of seemingly nowhere to put himself in the race. Vic there was in the contention for a little bit. Sam Burns, the standing water fiasco on, I think it was 15. He called over two different rules officials. They didn't give him relief. I don't think it cost him the tournament, but I think it cost him the proper headspace. So that was interesting. Our boy John Rahm, if he just had maybe one more round like he did on Sunday, he would have been right in the mix. We were heavily invested in him. But what do you think? How was the weekend for you?
Yeah, I mean, when I look at the strokes gained metrics there, number one for the week, Colin Morikawa. Number two, Victor Hovland. Number three, Carlos Ortiz. Number four, John Rahm. So when I look at that, I had obviously we bet John Rahm there. Nice backdoor T7 there, as you mentioned. Struggled on Saturday and even on Thursday there as well. So if you could have put that, I mean, these guys love to backdoor their top finishes there, but good on him. We'll see if he can actually maybe have to take him at Royal Port Rush here for the Open Championship. Colin Morikawa 66th in putting there out of the guys that made the cut. And that would be out of 66 players, so that's DFL on putting there for Colin Morikawa, first in approach. So I was actually happy to see that, as he was my fade of the week there. I didn't think that mentally he would be there. He did stick around for a while, but I just think he definitely had his moment struggles there. His approach game was there all week, but I think that he really struggled on the greens, but I think a lot of people did, which just made that J.J. Spahn putt even more incredible there.
Yeah.
I
saw Spahn gave about 10 strokes on the greens, which is pretty incredible.
Yeah, I mean, I think if I go back to his approach there, he finished second overall on the greens there, gaining over 2.63 average across the full event there. He was outside the top 30 in approach and off the tee. So, I mean, it is a full tee to green thing there. I think he got out to that strong start, obviously, shot that great 65, 66 on Thursday and kind of just stayed up there. Good on him. Obviously, he fell back on Saturday, and for him to push forward, as you mentioned, a lot of those top-name guys weren't major winners, kind of faded down the path there. What are your thoughts? I think the other headlines you mentioned there is kind of what we saw in the press conferences and kind of what we saw after the fact. I'm looking at you, Wyndham Clark, right? Demolishing the clubhouse there, obviously lifting off an F-bomb as he was unpleasant there. Rory McIlroy saying, hey, I get to do what I want to do. I've earned that respect to not have to talk to you guys, and I am frustrated with the club throws, the tomahawks, I mean, all that kind of action. And then you got somebody like Shane Lowry with his behavior that was well documented through the week, even picking up his ball without marking it. So I mean, the headspace that these guys in, obviously it's the great equalizer, that course and that toughness. any of those kind of speak out to you there from kind of the sideline antics that the it's kind of crazy here, Sammy. I'm not mentioning Tyrell Hatton's attitude, right? I'm not mentioning John Rahm getting heated there. It's kind of these more notable guys, and I think those kind of drew and just kind of shows the toughness that these guys are in under 72 holes. Any feedback that you saw from out there in social media or after the fact there, Sammy?
Yeah, so I think the course kind of brought this out of them. The course itself was kind of a hot debate, and you know, I'm somebody that complains about birdie fests, and watching this tournament, I thought it was a fair test, but at the same time, it got kind of repetitive seeing these guys just hack out of the long rough all weekend long. You couldn't really get creative. You just kind of had to take it how it was for a lot of the round, especially with the rough being really wet. I think the media has kind of brought Rory's attitude on himself. He hasn't gone full Colin Morikawa and said, like, I don't owe you anything, which, you know, I don't really agree with, but they also, it's in their, within their rights not to speak to the media. And I think Rory, given all the fiasco with the non-conforming driver, this, that, and the other, I think it's fair for him to kind of get his distance from the media. I think Wyndham Clark, of all everybody, his is the most excusable. I mean, damaging property. He punched in a couple lockers, it looked like, from what we saw from the pictures. I mean, this is a guy that threw his driver at some of the structures right near some of the volunteers a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, his own sponsor.
He's carried
there.
That over into this. And you know, I wouldn't be against him being banned from Oakmont just for destroying property like that. I mean, if I destroyed property at a course, I would be kicked off the course. So
yeah,
I think that's inexcusable from a pro.
Yeah, for sure. And I actually saw that out on social media that he was. I don't know if that's fake news or not. I'll have to dig into the clubhouse archives for that. I will also say John Rahm, Rory McIlroy, two of the lowest rounds on Sunday. So we'll see how that kind of goes into this last major. You'll hear a lot about the Open Championship. Obviously, we got John Deere qualifying coming up. We got the Scottish Open and that sort of thing as they go up to Northern Ireland, another course that a lot of people liked Rory McIlroy to play well on that type of course there. I guess for me, looking back at the stats, I might have to value when that rough is that deep there, Sammy, to really value that 50 to 100-yard range when guys got to get up and down on there, I think really comes into play there. A lot of slope, but it's also just a hard golf course. I think tee to green, and you just got to hope like somebody – I mean, if – Scott, if Colin Morikawa putts, I mean, he's right up there. He finished at T8. Yep. He finished at plus 8. And also to note, for those that don't know, J.J. Spahn, the only player that finished under par after 72 holes. I know there was a lot of talk about could you take even par there. The even par would have put you right behind J.J. Spahn. Also, a media member from Golf Channel, actually a plus, I think it was a plus 0.6. 0.6 handicap, went out and shot the same. He played for members tees a little bit further up. Same hole position, same course, shot 93. So that 18 handicap is definitely going to be boosted there. Sammy, I hate to do this to you. Obviously, we got a big guest coming on there. Looking forward to having you. Where can people go out and find your stuff while we talk to Chris Norton on the side there?
Yeah, check me out on Twitter or on Threads at SammyAvBets or SammyAv14, and then check out our Better Clubhouse page at The Better Clubhouse.
Looking forward to that from Sammy. We'll have him back on the air just at the bottom of the hour. But as I do that, I have to just give a shout-out to this guy who's going to be joining in and calling in to the Better Clubhouse now. But before I do that, I have to let everybody know that this is the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network, and you're listening to the Better Clubhouse live from Ferg Sports Bar and Grill down here, 13th and Central, right in the backdrop of Tropicana Field in downtown St. Petersburg, streaming live on RadioSt.Pete.com on the Florida Sports Streams channel. Come on down. Check us out. We got $3 taco night. My two daughters came down here and just inhaled five chicken ones there. I'm over here, obviously, enjoying my ice pick vodka, Champa Bay there. Plenty of TVs. Going to get yourself plenty of MLB action there. And obviously, got the pivotal Game 6 tonight. Couldn't be talking about ice pick vodka without Lord Stanley. Won't be down here at Ferg's. It will be down there in Sunrise as Florida Panthers look for their second consecutive Stanley Cup title there. And I thought no better than have this gentleman come on who was drafted by the Winnipeg Jets 11th rounder. He told me not to disclose the year, so I have to give him respect there. Let's see if he wants to give that information out there. But what I will say is this guy has the same birthday as me, March 11th there. So shout out to 311 there. If he's got the same birthday as me, I think that just speaks volumes from Champ, who loves the stats there. So let's welcome Chris Norton into the Better Clubhouse. Thanks so much for joining us. How are you doing this evening, Chris?
Doing very well, sir. You actually sound pretty professional. I gotta be honest with you.
Hey, I appreciate that. I mean, I knew when I had to step up my game here. We got a professional on there. Obviously, got my kids here trying to show them the ropes here. Looking forward to that. But we try to have a little establishment here. I think when you have that presence, right, Chris? It depends on who's in that foursome when you're playing golf, right? They up their game, you got to up your game when you do that. Any chance? Did you have the ability, the chance on Father's Day? Happy late Father's Day, by the way, to yourself.
Thanks,
as well. Catch any of that U.S. Open car accidents there on Sunday?
Oh, you know I did. You know I did. I was glued to it. Actually, I watched almost from stem to gudgeon, starting Thursday to the final amazing putt by a battler. Like, holy Moses, this JJ Spahn guy. I just was all over him, wanted him to win. Yeah, totally watched it, and it was quite different than the usual Saturday-Sunday PGA golf tournament, with guys making shots that, in fact, you know, I can make easily. there was a lot going on, but it was really entertaining, and I was very, very pleased for Spahn.
Chris, for being from Canada there, I'm curious, what was a bigger putt in your eyes? And I have a curious, I think I know where you might lean. Are you taking J.J. Spahn's putt to win 2025 U.S. Open, or are you taking Nick Taylor's Canadian Open just a short 2 years back there logo now?
So forget that I'm a proud Canadian. But Taylor, he made that putt to win the tournament, right? Whereas J.J., he could have rolled her close and then,
that's,
you know, two putted. So, you know, you got to go with the guy who that putt actually won the tourney for. If I'm incorrect, then please let me know.
No, I mean, also, I'm wondering, Chris, there, I'm curious, how much money you given to Victor Hovland? Let's not give him his not credit, right? He gave him a pretty good read, his ball being right behind J.J. Spahn there. Obviously, a shout out to one of our favorite European players there, Tommy Fleetwood, had to be on the back end of that. Also on the back end of that is Adam Hadwin, who took a cross check right on the 72nd in the playoff there, up there in the Canadian Open as well. So, I mean, so we love golf. Chris loves golf. Obviously, that segue from hockey to golf, easy to see. We see plenty of golfers that are out there. We won't talk about Chris's golf game. I think he'll hold that one over there. You'll have to come down and see it for yourself there. But, Chris, why don't you give the patrons just a little insight just into your career being drafted by those Winnipeg Jets in the 11th round, and just your full little glimpse into your professional hockey career there.
It's quite a journey, and, you know, I think it's a common journey for a lot of Canadian boys and girls these days. You know, my hometown, grew up playing hockey, and then played for the junior team in my hometown for 2 years in Oakville. And my last year of playing junior, I started to get some interest from U.S. colleges and universities for scholarships, and my father was in education, and he kind of pushed me in that direction, and it was fantastic that he did. So I got recruited by a bunch of schools and ended up going to Cornell and played at Cornell for 4 years. And in my freshman year, luckily enough, I was playing with a guy, another freshman, and one of my best buddies called Joe Nieuwendyk, who, you know, for you hockey fans out there, know he went on to win 3 Stanley Cups and Olympic gold and Conn Smythe and Hall of Famer. So luckily enough, my freshman year, he was there, and there was a ton of NHL scouts who were there to watch him. And I guess I must have had a good game or two, and was honored to be drafted by Winnipeg, which was wonderful. And I played my 4 years at Cornell, and then again was fortunate enough to sign a 4-year contract with Winnipeg, and, you know, played for their American Hockey League team. Got called up a couple times, but kind of sat in press boxes and ate great hot dogs and whatnot, and went back down to the American League. And then I got traded to Chicago, and shortly thereafter traded to Los Angeles and played in their minor league teams and was up for the playoffs a couple times. But yeah, it was a great run, and then left North America and went and played for 6 years in England, and had an interesting time playing over there. I also was teaching while I was playing, so it was kind of my segue out of hockey into professional life, because that can be difficult for a lot of guys.
Yeah, I mean, some of the stories and hearing the back woods there and just hearing that. And, I mean, this guy plays hockey and then goes out and obviously played at Cornell there, one of the great education there. So we got smarts. He's professional. He obviously played on the defensive side there, all over the map there. I mean, some of these names of your former teams there are pretty good. The Raiders, the Wasp, the Bombers, the Warriors, and the Cobras. I mean, we're talking that we got all the animals and that sort of thing. And as we shift this, as we go into tonight, obviously it's pivotal game six that I know you're glued in on that on the mat, on the game tonight. Yeah. My curious for you to see is, I see Matthew Tkachuk come out and say, I'm treating this like a game seven, right? Tonight's the night. Yeah. We need to finish this thing. Even though they got an extra game, right? Knowing that this is only game six, as a player for yourself, being in those pivotal moments, needing to close that door, what is the mindset going in from that Florida trying to close this out tonight, in your point of view?
Right. You know, I think what Tkachuk was saying, he was basically saying, JJ's fun. You know I got two putts, but let's make it in one and walk out of here, right? And that's what Florida wants to do. They know they have the game seven in their back pocket. But if you recall, over the last year, you know, they had three games where they could have closed out Edmonton to win the cup, and Edmonton pushed them to seven. These guys are, Florida are as a well-built team as I've seen in many, many, many years of watching hockey. They've got the ability to do a track meet with you. If you want to go up and down the ice, we can do that. If you want to drop the gloves, we'll do that. We'll play any kind of game you want. And I think that they learned from last year. They'd be lying to you if they didn't think to themselves, oh my goodness, you know, remember we lost three in a row last year. That's there. But these guys are as professional group, as experienced a group of players as have been around. They're a model franchise. And I think, you know, I'm a Canadian, and, you know, everyone's saying, well, you want the cup to go back to Canada. I think it would be wonderful for Edmonton. I think it'd be wonderful for the Edmonton fans and for Canada. But, you know, if you look at the two teams and you ask me to pick one, it's Florida. And I've said it from the beginning of the playoffs. You know that. We've talked about it. And, you know, I think that they're a formidable team. And I think that they've got the experience and the temper, the mindset to be successful. But then again, you got Edmonton with the two best players in the world. Skinner might come back out tonight and do what he's done already these playoffs and shut the door after being pulled, after losing his net. So, you know, it's not a foregone conclusion. Obviously, that's why they play the game. But I would lean towards Florida, but I would be honest telling you that it would be no surprise if Edmonton suddenly shows up again.
I mean, these are just Cornell stats this guy's throwing out. Obviously, under Paul Maurice there, Panthers only 10-8 in potential series clinching games there. Also, I'm curious just your mindset there, Chris. These guys have been out, scored first, every single game of the series. They get out to a three-goal lead, then let it down. I know Sammy is itching on the other line to say, do I need to keep hammering this over goals? We're looking at 6.5 there. Or do you think it's going to be underwhelming scoring tonight with that Game 7 mentality? Because I know when we look at Game 7, that's usually a no-holds brawl there, being very goal-friendly. Do you see more goals expected? Even from, I know you're loving the old man just showing off Brad Marchand there. So what are your thoughts are you expecting that more high goals there, or are you expecting more of a grind-out fest tonight?
Interesting. I was just watching the point earlier, and I saw the 6.5, and it surprised me because if you would have asked me without even knowing, six and a half, I'd say it'd be a lower scoring game. I just think it might be tight. I don't think it's going to be as free flowing because both teams have a boatload to lose, right? Edmonton has to lose the cup, and Florida will have to go back to Edmonton. So I think, I don't know, I just got a gut feeling it might be tight at the beginning, maybe not as free flowing. I think that Skinner's a big question for me. You know, if he can shut the door in the first period, then I think that it's going to be a game, because you made a great point. Every game, it's been 2-0, 2-0, 3-0, 2-0 at the end of the first periods. they can't do that. Edmonton can't win the cup that way. They can't win a game that way. So they've got it. The first period is going to be really, really interesting. I think that Edmonton has to be airtight in their own zone, and they got to take a few more chances shooting the puck at the net a lot more rather than some of the fancy stuff, because Ford is just shutting them down.
So as Chris was opening up his Seminole Hard Rock bet app there, you got minus 180. I think a little bias, obviously, from Seminole, and you got the Florida Panthers there. Minus 180 there. You got up $180 to win 100 there. Go puck line if you want to do that. Obviously, we got an empty net, and we got some aggressive play at the very end. Florida Panthers to score two or more at plus 140, but I would hammer that under 6.5. Sorry there, Sammy. I think your train, overtrain, gets hosed tonight. Heavy juice on that, minus 120 under 6.5 there. Got to go with the pro there. Before I let you go, Chris, you knew this question was going to come up. I could see you pulling out your hair thinking about it. I see Mitch Marner in the news saying, hey, he's not even going to talk about a contract. We are talking about the Toronto Maple Leafs, near and dear to Chris's heart there. I know you've mentioned you really wanted to shake up the clubhouse there. Just thoughts on that. Do you think this is the final move, or do they might get somebody like a Brad Marchand? Or what are you hoping from a diehard Leafs fan that you guys can take in the next season, get over that hump next season?
Million-dollar question. Listen, I think that Mitch Marner is one of the best players in the NHL in the regular season. I think he gets a lot of points. He's flashy. He's really creative. He's a wonderful player to watch in the regular season. He's never shown it during the playoffs. And it's not once, twice, three times. It's eight times, right? Okay, the first year you're a rookie, you're figuring it out. But it's never, ever happened with that group. They've tried to put in different types of players, older guys to, you know, change the culture. Those core four, particularly Matthews and Marner, are so tight. There's no one who can come in the league that can change the culture in that dressing room like a Matthew Tkachuk did, or like a Marchand does in the dressing room. They've got to break it up. And Marner, it's the way the numbers roll. Matthew's already resigned. Marner is now, you know, unrestricted. And we're going to lose him. And that's the way it is. We're going to have a big amount of cap space. Hate to see a guy of that talent go. Everyone says, how are you going to replace him? How many guys? Listen. You've got nothing's going to change unless you change the culture in that dressing room. And I believe that those guys got to be split up, and Marner's got to go. And it's sad, but that's the reality. And if someone pays him $14 million, it will not be on a contending team. And that's not what he wants. So I don't know what he's, you know, it's really funky, but that's kind of where I'm at.
Oh, man. I wish this, I wish our show was, live streaming, just to see the pain and the anger that Chris puts forth. I can only imagine somebody forechecking this guy or getting him in front of the net, as he calls it, the dirty playoff hockey there, or putting him in the boards if you try to talk bad about his Leafs. But he loves them. I love you, Chris, for being on the show tonight. Always appreciate you willing to jump on and talk about it.
Yeah.
I hope you get a game seven. I'm looking forward to it. I hope Connor McDavid, He already lit the lamp last time. I hope he does it again. I would love to see a game seven. I know Florida Panthers probably not there, but I'd love to see more hockey and that sort of thing. Chris, really appreciate you jumping on tonight. Hopefully that you can join us again down the line there.
Hey, listen, fantastic. One quick thing. I have a feeling Barkov's going to get one tonight. If odds are good on that, go with it. I got a sneaky feeling Barkov's going to finally score.
Oh, look,
wonderful being with you. Wonderful being with you guys. Thanks very much.
Oh, look at that. That's a pro's pro. That felt almost, I think we should get like a Chris's bets there, as we have each and every, you know how they have on the NHL, they've got, they got the analyst on there who's bets his bets. We got to get Chris Norton's bets there. The pro's pro, Alexander Barkov. So as we wait for Sammy to call back into the clubhouse, we'll have to check on that line. That's a pro's pro. One great conversation with Chris Norton there. Drafted 11th round out of the Winnipeg Jets from Cornell. Played all over UK and all over the map there as well. And just a great conversation. I'll have to get Sammy's thoughts on him liking the under tonight. I know Sammy's not going to like that. But before, as we wait for Sammy to call in, this is the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network, and you're listening to the Better Clubhouse live from Verx Sports Bar and Grill down here at 13th and Central, right in the backdrop Tropicana Field, streaming live on RadioSt.Pete.com on the Florida Sports Streams channel. If you like that conversation, we have that conversation and then some on our Thursday show. It's called On the Tee Florida, on the TeeFloridaGolf.com there. We have great interviews. We've interviewed Joe Madden. We've had Ronnie Barber on that show. We've had tournament directors on that show. We have Brittany Lincecum call into that show. We've had so many great interviews. Go back and check that out on Tampa Bay Archive there, part of Radio St. Pete as well on Spotify. And also check us out. That's a Thursday show. Two Pros and a Hack with the founder and the mastermind behind the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network, Mike Rickard, and PGA Teaching Pro, John Rager, and then St. Pete Country Club's PGA Pro there, who actually played in 5 U.S. Opens, Bill Buttner. And that's on Thursdays from 6 to 8, right on this great Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network. Check that one out as well. That's on the Tee Florida Golf, on the TeeFloridaGolf.com. All details, and sign up for some free swag while you're in there as well. Great to have that conversation. Welcome back into the clubhouse, Sammy. Did you catch what Chris, he even threw a little side, other than one of his favorite bets of the night there.
I'm looking for it right now. Plus 240 on Barkov. Give it to me.
Love that. Love that. You got to put that up with Scotty, right? And I think we got to figure that one out. But before you tell the people, obviously, before we do that, obviously, we got to let's walk out to the patio there, Sammy. Okay. And this week's patio preview of the Travelers Championship, I'll let the patrons know, is probably supported by Body Armor and Coca-Cola there. It's all yours, Sammy.
Awesome. Yeah, so we're at TPC River Highlands up in hockey country, up in Connecticut here. Signature event with no cut, a Peak Dive Design course, one of the mainstays on the PGA Tour. So we've had these Philly Cricket Clubs and these Oakmonts, and we're trying to find winners on kind of shooting in the dark on these courses. Everyone's making educated guesses, and now we're back to a course that we know, that we love here. It's one of these short courses. It's one of, if not the shortest course on tour. I don't want to go too deeply into it. We have all of this. The full preview is over there on the www.thebetterclubhouse.com, but a few key stats here that I want to talk about. So last signature event of the year, the Open across the pond, and then the FedEx, those are going to be the highest paying tournaments after this tournament. The approach shots are some of the easiest here on tour, despite the small greens. There's a 70% plus GIR, greens in regulation percentage here. Off the tee numbers are about tour average. Surprisingly, I was actually surprised when I saw this. Around the green play has been top 8 in difficulty the last 4 years on tour, and putting is relatively easy here. So the big name of the game is not missing the fairway, kind of like last week. And honestly, missed fairway penalty is top 15 on tour last 4 years, top 10 the last 3 of the 4 years. If you're in the fairway, you're going to have an easy birdie opportunity if you're hitting these greens. If you're in the rough, it's probably going to take away your birdie opportunities, but a lot of these guys will still get up and down for par. Interesting of note, they made a couple changes to the course when they learned it was going to be a signature event. They narrowed some of the fairways, grew up some of the rough, but honestly, last year the scoring was lower than we've seen in a lot of these tournaments up in Connecticut. And the average driving distance in the signature event last year here was less than 290 yards. So it's less than driver course. These guys are clubbing down to hit the fairways. Proximity buckets, 65 to 70% of these shots are going to be from inside 175 yards. A lot of these approach shots are actually going to be 125 yards and in. So it's going to be a wedge fest. Winning score is probably going to be it's probably going to eclipse 20. I want to know your thoughts on that. But interesting, of note, I'm pretty sure Cam Young shot a 59 here last year, and he's getting hot right now. So he's one of the most tipped golfers this week. I'm not sure if he can separate himself with accuracy right now where his game is, but you need to separate yourself with accuracy, elite greens in regulation, elite proximity. It kind of turns into a putting contest if you're checking all those boxes. For reference, last year Scotty won at minus 22. the year before, Keegan won at minus 23. In 2022, Xander won at minus 19. And then 2021, Harris English, minus 13. So I'm not really sure what was up that year. But none of the last four winners have carded a 70 on their card. So everybody has shot a 69 and below, or sorry, 68 or better in all four rounds if they want to take home this championship here. What are your thoughts here? I know we've been kind of tossing around names already. I'm interested in a couple guys who are short course specialists. The greens here are bent grass, power mix. They're very small greens to go along with the short course dimensions. What are your thoughts here? What are you looking for here?
Yeah, I mean, I think we've had I'm happy to be back on a course that is in a regular rotation. I'm happy to be in a TPC course, Tournament Players Club course there as well. I think back at this course, obviously Scottie Scheffler, this is the same course that where they had the protest on the 72nd green in the playoff between him and Tom Kim last year. Tom Kim decided to hit a wedge from like 130, and he only hit it about 110. Thanks, Tom Kim, for giving us
sounds
a runner
like
up
my
there.
Game.
this is also the same course where Bubba Watson was up by like five shots and decided just to lose his game on a back nine there. Didn't feel very good on that one. And then obviously this is another one where, see, Degala almost had his first win here as well. Also, Dustin Johnson, way back in the day, almost hit it in the water. A lot of drivable kind of holes. This is also a mid. Think of a similar type course to like a Players Championship at TPC Sawgrass, more mid-iron type games there. But just looking back at last year there, Scottie Scheffler second tee to green, Tom Kim first, Tom Hoagie, another short hitter right there, third, Justin Thomas up there, Patrick Cantlay, Tony Finau. So I think what we're looking for here is a course horse that really plays well, who's striking it well. The question is for you, Sammy, is how do we factor in a lot of these guys played last week, some good, some didn't. How are we factoring in major and kind of going through that mental grinder last week and how they might play this week?
So there are a few different subjective ways to approach this. Obviously, there's no written law on how to approach this, but in watching the final round, especially after the weather delay, I don't think I'm going to have any exposure to the guys that were actually in the mix that were sloshing around late on Sunday. I think there is a lot of mental and physical fatigue from that, especially for JJ, for Sam Burns, and for Vic specifically. Actually, bringing up Vic, we haven't hit an outright in a couple weeks or here, but we have been spot on the fades of the week, and I think Vic is lining up to be my fade of the week this week. He's just more of a long iron guy. His putter is really letting him down. It felt like he was just really forcing it with his driver, trying to like guide his shots with his driver. I don't know. As somebody who took him live, he was the last cross off my card pre-tournament. I was expressing my frustration to you because it looked like he was going to be in the mix for a while. I would have had an each way on him, but I took him a little bit for, I think, 11 to 1. So I was watching him. And he just, when it mattered, he could not keep it in the fairway, and he could not hit those putts from inside 10 feet. So as somebody who struggles with his short irons and is better with his long irons, I'm going to announce Vic as the fade of the week. But yeah, I mean, if you missed the cut last week, I don't care. Blind eye, it's a completely different course, completely different situation. So I don't mind if you missed the cut last week.
Yeah, I think any major championship there, missed cut, especially after last week. Inside of our patio preview, we actually have some stats of the last 10 at the Travelers Championship. That was prior to the U.S. Open, sometimes signature nod. Only two finished in the top 10 and won this title here. Six of the 10, so 60%, made the cut. I also think that the U.S. Open is one of the toughest tests there. As your point there, go ahead and write it off there. But to your point there, if they're in that rain delay, they're up and down with emotional, trying to battle that lead. I don't really like that aspect of things. I'll probably not be on that. I do like a hot final Sunday round there. So Rory McIlroy, I am seeing people back this week. He is a name that I'm curious about. We'll see how he plays. I do think you need some driver. I do have as a total driving type course here, Sammy, over a driving distance or a driving accuracy. Obviously, there's names listed off. Another previous winner here was Ches Reavie as well. And then looking at that, and then
you made a note on Rory. He didn't play when it was a signature event last year, which is the only year it was a signature event. But he has five appearances here from 17 to 23, and he's never finished outside the top 20. So we'll be interesting to see how he goes about it. Maybe a Rory first round leader at 20-1 or better is an interesting look there.
Yeah, I mean, this tournament, obviously, with Scotty winning, and that's obviously 3-1. I looked at some stats prior to this. 14 of the last 29. That's just an astounding stat. Actually, it's 15 out of 29 there. More than 50%. This guy finishes in the top three in his last 29 starts there. He's got a win rate of 33%. What's his odds? 3-1. I mean, it kind of lines up there. If you wanted to go that and throw in Alexander Barkov, as Chris Norton said there, I'm not going to hate you there, but I do think there, when I look at the odds, obviously 14, I do like that 20 on Rory there to see what's going to happen there. Obviously, Sammy, I don't know if you told is this a no-cut event signature?
No-cut.
So I do think that cream likes to rise in no-cut events there as well. Obviously,
Definitely.
You know Sander Schauffele, I believe. He's actually played well here in the past as well. I would not go after Ludvig Åberg. Probably my fate of the week, as scary as that is. This guy can come back and win. I just don't see it there. I didn't get that bump. He could have miscut. He did miscut last week. We were on him and just didn't give me that spunk that I really wanted. So he's my fade of the week. Obviously, when we do a fade, we don't all the way go to the bottom of the board there. So looking forward to that. A name that I'm curious to see how he plays this week, and I really like him. He's actually won here before. Doesn't have the greatest history, but I do think he is on the right there to do it. I'm thinking of Jordan Spieth this week. What do you think there?
Okay.
Obviously, when we think of Jordan Spieth and we trick the Travelers, we think of the rake throw, right? Holing out from the bunker there against, I believe, who that was? Kramer Hitchcock, I think, back in the day there. That was Harris English. But this is the one where he threw the club. Actually, it was Daniel Berger, now that I remember giving the thumbs up there. I really like Jordan Spieth, to be honest with you. I think his irons are there. When I look here, you got to be somewhat accurate with the driver there. I think he can around these parts. Iron and putter, I like that as well. So that's a name that kind of strikes me there. What are your thoughts on Jordan Spieth this week?
So he's a previous winner here. I believe you mentioned that. The thing is, so I wrote him up in our deep dives, and it wasn't exactly the most positive. What I will say is his odds are very forgiving. And, between 40 and 50-1 for a player that can seemingly just have a ceiling type of tournament at any given moment, I like it, Jordan Spieth, in that aspect. What worries me is ever since he won here in 2017, he's missed a cut twice, and he's finished no better than 42nd the other three times. So he's lost strokes on approach in all events, even when he won here. And on approach, he lost four of the five. So, as somebody who is trying to be early on Jordan earlier this year, I might be a little biased. He won't make my card, but at the number, I think you could do much, much worse than Jordan Spieth. That's for sure.
I mean, he's lost strokes gained putting three of the last 4 weeks there. What if I told you he gained over two strokes on approach last week, but also lost off the tee? I don't see Jordan as a long ball hitter, right? I think he's more controlled and that sort of thing. Gained around the green. He's gained there in six straight. Approach obviously is up and down there. I think I'm expecting him a better ball striking off the tee there. I think we get some good vibes there. I'm ready to lock that in also for our one and done contest up there, Sammy.
Okay.
I think that's up there for me there. A name that, and so that's a 50-1 shot, as Sammy was saying there. Very fair odds on a player like Jordan Spieth there at 50-1. If I had to take a player a little bit further there down the line, or another name I'm just curious to get Sammy's thoughts on there is one Akshay Bhatia. I think that that's another name that I like on a TPC type course. 70-1 I'm seeing right now, Sammy. Why don't you let the patrons know just your thoughts on Akshay Bhatia, what we call the smoke show on the Better Clubhouse.
So I was very worried. I listened to some early week media for Akshay, just for PGA golf betting in general. And a couple of the guys were talking about Akshay Bhatia, and I was nervous that he was going to be on the most tip chart this week, but he's not. And he's, like you said, he's around 70-1. And I actually wrote him up a little bit in our deep dives this week, and I am most likely going to be invested in Akshay this week. I really like his ability to putt, first of all. He's not gonna lose on the putting greens, but also his only appearance here was in the signature event last year. He finished top five. He's shown an ability to win within the last year or so. He's accompanied that with multiple other top fives. So I think he is definitely at 65 or 70-1. He's definitely in the mix. He's had a weird year. He started pretty well, and then he kind of died off there between what his top three at the Players and then up to the PGA Championship. He missed the cut last week, but like I said, I'm turning a blind eye to that. And it wasn't like he lost really massively in any area. If he did lose in any of these categories, it was no more than about 0.8 or one stroke. So I don't mind that. Before then, at Memorial and at Colonial, he finished top 25 in both events. He gained ball striking in both of those events and tee to green. I just think for somebody of the talent and the winning upside of Akshay in this field, I think greater than 60-1 is a very fair price and a very bettable price.
And I got two stats there to just back your Akshay Bhatia thoughts there. Before I do that, I have to let the patrons know that this is the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network, and you're listening to the Better Clubhouse live. From Ferg Sports Bar and Grill down here at 13th and Central, right in the backdrop of the old gray lady with her top off here at Tropicana Field in downtown St. Pete, and streaming live on RadioSt.Pete.com on the Florida Sports Streams channel. For only 15 quick minutes. Hopefully you stuck around with us. Really looking forward to that. Go if you missed any of it, check us out. Go back and hear that great conversation with Chris Norton there, NHLer, in his bets there. He's actually likes Alexander Barkov, and he likes the under at 6.5 goals there. It's a little juiced right now, but do like that. He also likes the Florida Panthers, so shout out to the home-ish team down there in Sunrise to lift the cup tonight as well. We were just on the line. We're still online in the clubhouse talking to Sammy Sharps about the Travelers Championship. He was mentioning Akshay Bhatia, and a couple stats I want to let the patrons know. That 12 of the last 15 winners, so I go all the way, I've tracked this all the way back, last 15 Travelers Championships, 12 of the last 15 have at least one top 20 in their last four starts there. Akshay had his 2 weeks ago, right at the Memorial, T16 there. We mentioned, hey, we're willing to write off that miscut at the U.S. Open. Also, what did Akshay Bhatia do at this same course last year? That'd be a top five and gained over 1.5 strokes on the greens there. Really looking forward, strong week there. I'm going to even go first-round leader right now on this for Akshay Bhatia there, and also going to go Jordan Spieth first round, put both of them also in the win category.
There you go.
Literally looking forward to that. Sammy, what's your one-and-done selection for this week there? I wouldn't even blame you if you went Akshay Bhatia there. Unfortunately, you went John Rahm, got you a nice T7 paycheck there, just steamrolling me right now in the one-and-done. I took Ludvig Åberg, looked good for about 7 holes, and then decided to not play so well. Anybody in your mind right now for one-and-done for the TPC River Highlands and the Travelers Championship, a no-cut 8th signature event of the season?
Yeah, you previewed this well. I'm definitely going to go Akshay Bhatia. I think it's a good spot for him.
Love that. So Akshay versus on my side, going Jordan Spieth there. Looking forward to that. Check out our newsletter tomorrow, final bets and models there. That'll lock you in and see all our history there of everything going on there. Sammy, I feel reminisced there. I've been checking in with your top 20 parlay there. I think we've been hitting either half of it or that. I think you actually had Corey Connors who decided to withdraw. I don't know what was going on.
He hurt his wrist.
Did he hurt his wrist or did he just decide to go out and watch the F1, the Canada Open, as I know you were locked in to
the
Max
Canada
last
Grand
week.
Prix.
Yeah. I don't know what was going on.
Who knows? Who knows? But he withdrew this week also.
Okay,
so
we don't
maybe
need to bet
something.
There.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we mentioned last week, my buddy who actually caddied at Oakmont for a while, the caddy master talked about how he fractured his wrist hitting out of the rough. So I was expecting somebody somewhere to get a wrist injury, and it turned out it's going to be the big maple. And
there you go.
Who knows how long he's going to be out, but we'll see. I want to ask you about somebody in particular who's a pretty polarizing player on the tour.
Okay.
What do you think of Justin Thomas this week?
That's an interesting name. This guy loves TPC courses, obviously.
Yep.
TPC Players Championship there. Two missed cuts in the last three starts. He's lost with
but
his
those
irons.
Those are majors.
That's true.
That's 100%. Where he fails.
And exactly right. I mean, you just gaining on the greens, right? I think the approach there. I also think that those are longer. PGA Championship, long Quail Hollow course, right?
Yep.
In Sammy's backyard there. Memorial, another long course. U.S. Open, another one. So this is kind of an odd week. So if you're just looking at those current form there, you're going to miss the boat. What I know Sammy didn't miss the boat on is third, fifth, ninth. For Justin Thomas, and two of the one is in 2024 and 2023 there. I just worry about the driver there, Sammy. That's kind of the concern for me. But outside of that, I don't see why not for Justin Thomas there. I like him. The driver, if you told me he drove off the tee better than the average or above, I would say he probably finished top five on Thursday and might have been there on Sunday, but maybe the driver got away from him on Sunday there. I've seen it so many times. I'm not saying no, but it's not a pure fade, right? I think there is something there. When I look at the odds board, 28, I don't mind that. If you can get in the 30s, even better. But I wouldn't go in the 20 range but I don't know. It's hard to grasp right now, but just based on the current form for Justin Thomas. Maybe a top 20, or is that those odds just aren't going to do it for us here on the clubhouse?
I usually want a 2-to-1 on these top 20s at least because it's a 4-day investment, and usually you're not getting those for these types of players in the signature events when there's no cut. Maybe he's a top 20 parlay type guy. The biggest issue I saw is, according to the data I look at, he's lost strokes on approach in three straight events while those courses are completely different than this course. It's the first time that he's lost, first of all, consecutively in almost a year and a half, 2 years.
Sammy, I just found the bet. As I was doing search here. And this is not scripted. Ludvig Åberg against Justin Thomas. I mean, it just scripts it right now. And Justin Thomas is actually minus 105 on a tournament matchup against Ludvig. Ludvig is actually minus 25. So why don't you lock that one in there for Justin Thomas, minus 105 there.
I love that.
Will be a great – I love that exposure there. I've already said to fade Ludvig there. If anything on this show, you fade who we fade, and then you pick a player that's not one of those, and hopefully you have a good sweat down the line there. Any final thoughts on the Travelers Championship before I get your final thoughts on not only NHL Finals and what Chris gave us there, but also the NBA Finals as OKC is just one win away there.
Yeah.
Anything else from the Travelers Championship that we might have missed there, Sammy?
Yeah, so I will say the Travelers Championship, like we mentioned, it's a course that's been on PGA Tour for a while. I would take recent form on the courses like Oakmont and Quail and Murrayfield Village with a grain of salt. Look at the courses like Philly Cricket, Harbour Town, these shorter courses where these guys have maybe performed a little bit better when maybe less driver is needed, when maybe more pinpoint irons are needed. I'm definitely not going to let this recent form cloud my point of view this week. So that's the last thing I'll say. I'm looking at players who maybe are a little off the grid, like a Justin Thomas, maybe a Tony Finau. I don't want to name drop like that, but check our newsletter tomorrow. We'll have all the final models and our picks here We're going to get on a roll here before football. I know it. And we're going to go into football with a nice cushion in our bankroll.
I mean, I wouldn't totally fade J.J. Spahn this week, but a guy that just popped up that will probably be my first-round leader. This guy's been percolating a little bit. Ricky Fowler is actually in my top 10 this week, so that's kind of behind the scenes there. My top 10's been a little warm there. Scotty Scheffler, Seb Straka, Colin Morikawa,
Nick Taylor. Is a nice way to put it.
Nick Taylor, J.J. Spahn, Russell Henley, Ryan Fox, Ben Griffin, Siwoo Kim, and Ricky Fowler making a round into the top 10.
Wow.
That'll be out there posted as well, along with that bet of Justin Thomas over Ludwig Oberd this week. Sammy, first, what are your thoughts? Do you have the cojones to bet an under in the NHL Stanley Cup Finals? That's correct, and we have that under 6.5. What are your thoughts there to start us off?
So, you know what? I think he moved the line because I'm seeing sixes at a lot of the books now. So I think that little data point on the under that he provided maybe moved the lines there. I'm joking, kind of half joking, but elimination game, I mentioned to you, that's going to change the dynamic a little bit, especially because they're playing in Florida. The ice is a little bit slower. McDavid hasn't really gotten what he wanted on these Florida games. So I don't disagree with the over or the under. I have not bet the over yet. Maybe if we have a stalemate here early in the game, I'll hit an over 4.5 or something like that. But the Barkov look, I really like that. I also like Marchand to score potentially. So I'm not invested in the over right now. Of course, it might come in, but I'll be probably looking at a live over at 4.5 or better.
Yeah, I mean, Chris mentioned that he kind of expects a grind, slow start to the scoring in the first period there. So an under in there, and then maybe if you want to jump on a live over after the first period there, I think that's probably the move there. First player to score a guard, to score, if you take Alexander Barkov there, 13-1 is what I'm going to risk my money on there. First goal, Chris Dorn, a shout out there. It's kind of where I'm looking at. I think they score, but here's the thing. I think the Edmonton Oilers in overtime take this to a game seven is what I'm thinking there. I'm thinking around the score. I'm going to go 3-2 Edmonton. A little bit shorter, a little bit under the margin there. I think – yes, Florida Panthers take it out 1-0, and then I think Edmonton kind of maybe 3-1, and then we'll see there how it goes down the stretch. That's my pick tonight there. Obviously, puck drop in 4 minutes. Get on over to the Seminole Hard Rock Bet to place that one there. Sammy, before we sign off here, just give the patrons a little thought on your as you were looking at watching the Oklahoma City Thunder last night, Jalen Williams putting up a 40-piece there. Is it over?
Yeah.
Is OKC? It sounds like ESPN bottom line says they're more worried about staying in OKC or not. Are we worried about Indiana Pacers coming back to force a Game 7, or is the Halliburton injury just going to slow us down and this thing ends?
Yeah, that's exactly it. I think the Halliburton thing is the biggest issue. He hasn't looked right, been kind of a turnover machine. I mean, three or more turnovers in a vast of these games this series. You know, it was just a matter of time before Williams popped up and had a good game. And the performance between him and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander kind of reminded me of back in the LeBron-Kyrie days when they both dropped 40 or plus. I know Shai didn't get to 40, but it was reminiscent of that. Good for Williams. Long story short, I think the Thunder are going to close it out in Indiana in Game 6. I think that the chance for Indiana to go up 3-1 was in Game 4, and then Shai and the refs kind of took over in the fourth quarter and kind of changed that. But I don't want to take any credit away from the Pacers. They played a hell of a series and a hell of a season. The Thunder, I think defensively, is the biggest difference maker. But we'll see. I mean, maybe Nesmith has one of his stereotypical games where he scores 25 out of nowhere. Maybe Toppin has a good game off the bench and he kind of takes the load off of Halliburton's shoulders. But they're going to need someone else. They're going to need – here, I'll say this. If the Pacers want to win Game 6 at home, they're going to need at least two other players – other than Halliburton, to score 25 or more points.
Love that. And as we get some Oiler guys in here, I think we got some McDavid. I think they liked my prediction of them taking it to Game 7 here on the Better Clubhouse. Sammy, if they want to hear more of your takes there, and as you look into Game 6 of the NBA Finals there, where can they reach you?
Yeah, check me out on X at SammyAvBets. Check me out on Threads at SammyAv14. Check out the Better Clubhouse social medias on X, Instagram, and Threads. And out soon here. We're getting close to football season. We're going to get close to college football content and NFL content. It's right around the corner.
Always appreciate you joining us, Sammy.
And thanks, champ.
You got it, buddy, and looking forward to it next week as well as we recap all these great winners that we've predicted here on the Better Clubhouse. I mean, you have been listening to the Better Clubhouse, a Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection radio network broadcast live from the 19th Hole Clubhouse Studios at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill. For Chris Norton calling us in there, really appreciate you there. And Sammy Sharp's there, myself on the controls, RadioSt.Pete.com's Joe Berdow, and the mastermind behind the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection radio network, Mike Rickard. Thank you for listening to the Better Clubhouse. God bless you, and God bless America.